And turn to the Gospel of Mark this morning. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Simple little story about the life of Christ and what he did. And a simple little message this morning. I don't think I have a long message this morning, but a simple message, but yet an important and a profound message. And trust it'll be a blessing. I was praying what God wanted me to preach, and God gave me this. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. I think we're on the right page this morning. So Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. Say amen if you found it. Amen. All right, let's look what the Bible has to say. And it says, in the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And what I want to take our text this morning is in verse number 37. And it says, And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. I want to preach on this thought this morning of storms. Storms. You know, in life, everybody goes through storms. That's a fact. And you know, even in this text, that Jesus and the disciples are going through storms. But guess what? The Bible says there were a bunch of other little ships with him. They weren't the only ones in the storm. There were a lot of people in the storm that day as they went across the sea. And in life, life is filled with storms. A man once said this, and I believe it's true. He said, you're either in a storm, or you're going out of a storm, or you're going into a storm. Isn't that the truth? Life is full of storms. It seems like you go from one storm to the next, but that's just the way it is. And the day in which we live, it seems like in the last days that storms across the world have increased in their intensity, have they not? Storms are increasing in their frequency. They increase in their strength. And you know, and that's how it is in life as you go through life. You know, when you're little, your storms are very small. Are they not? You know, a little child, their ice cream cone, their ice cream fell off their cone. That's a storm to a little two-year-old, right? They lost their dip of their ice cream, and mom and dad can fix that pretty easy, can't they? Well, you go get another one, right? One time my dad sent me down to buy some eggs, and we used to have a farm down the street from us, and we'd walk down the farm. It was about a half mile away, Lushak Farm, and we'd go down and get the eggs, and dad sent me down with the money, and I'd get excited. I got to go buy the eggs. I went down and bought the eggs. On the way back, guess what happened? I tripped and broke all the eggs. And man, I thought that was going to be a storm. Dad's going to beat the devil out of me when I get home. And I got home with all the broken eggs. I said, Dad, I fell. He said, That's okay. Here's some more money. Go get some more eggs. Now, that boy, I thought, God, that storm went by in a hurry, right? But you know, as you get older in life, the storms intensify. And they come more in frequency. And that's just true. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning, the thought of storms. The thought of storms. So let's pray. And let's ask for God's help and grace. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the story of this morning. And God, in the midst of any storm, God, you can be there and you can say, Peace be still. God, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And God, as the disciples cried out and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And of course you cared. God, you always care. No matter what we're going through this morning, God, we know that you care. And storms come for reasons. And God, as we preach this morning, God, help us to see the reason. Help us to understand that everyone has to go through storms. Bless the word. Bring grace and comfort. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, again, as we preach on this thought of storms, storms, they were in the storm. And thank God that Christ, that he just spoke the word, peace be still. Thank God he can calm the storm. But again, all men face storms. Job said this in Job 14:1, and we know that Job was going through a storm. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. We understand that. The older you get, the more you understand that. And Job chapter number 5 in verse 6 and 7, he said this, although affliction cometh not forth out of the dust, neither the trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. No doubt about it. Trouble is a common thing. thing. He went on to say this, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I am afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Of course, now, we understand storms are speak of trouble in our life, and all men face them. And storms have a way of getting our attention, do they not? I mean, you can ignore a lot of things, but you can't ignore a storm, okay? We were on vacation in this last week in Myrtle Beach, and on our way down, I said, "Oh, I'll be doggone, there's a storm blew up in the Gulf of Mexico," and it did. And I said, "Boy," I said, I hope," they said, they were forecasting all kinds of different things, because they don't know everything, right? You know, only God knows everything. The weathermen do their best to guess the weather, right? And so they said, "Well, this could turn into, it's a tropical storm, and it's going to pick up intensity, and it could be a hurricane off the South Carolina and North Carolina coast." I said, "Well, hey, things happen, right? And you never know when that storm's going to pop up." But it did have our attention, because, yeah, you got to pay attention to storms. You can't ignore hurricanes. I'll tell you that right now. You can't ignore tornadoes. You can't ignore earthquakes. You can't ignore devastations of nature. You can't ignore those things. And they have a way of getting our attention. So do storms of life. Like it or not, there are things that God blows across our path. They do get our attention when trouble comes. And when trouble comes, nobody likes it, but we have to pay attention to it when it comes. And sometimes storms come to adjust sometimes our attitude when it comes to life. And, you know, nothing can get your adjust your attitude more than having a problem in your life. Is that not true? Remember when 9/11 came, and we joked about that when we had the terrorist attack in America, and all of a sudden there was a flag on every house and church attendance was up. And I remember my nephew calling and said, "Hey, should I be in church on Sunday?" And of course, what my response was, "Of course you should be. You should be in church every Sunday, right?" But he just said, "Is Jesus coming? If Jesus is coming, I want to be in church." I said, "Boy, if only we had that attitude every day," right? If only we had that attitude every day. Hey, live for Jesus, because Jesus is coming. But storms have a way of making us think about some things in our life. They do. And when we look at life, so many people look at life as a party. And again, life is not a party. God gave us life to do something with it. It's like not just to be a party, okay? But when storms come, it changes situations in our life, and there's no doubt about it. And storms do that. And sometimes it takes a storm to get us straightened out and to think about the seriousness of life. Because life is serious. We know life is short. The Bible says, "What is your life? Appear for a little while, and is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away." Life is very short. Even if you're so blessed to live 90 years of age or 100 years of age, they got that one person who was 110 years old. I mean, that's blessed, but let me tell you, it's still short in comparison when you think about life. And then you think about all those who die young. And people do die young. And what a sad thing it is when young people die, but young people do die. Every day young people die. And you think about that's how life is. Death is no respecter of persons, and nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. But those things have a way of speaking to our hearts. They do. And they make us understand the seriousness of life and how serious it is. They made all kind of movies, and they made a movie one time called The Perfect Storm. And sometimes you're going through life, and boy, it is like a perfect storm. I mean, ever gone through life and just everything's going wrong? You lose your job, your car breaks down, the refrigerator quits working, washing machine quits. I mean, and just everything goes wrong sometimes in life. Have you ever been there in that time of your life? Man, I have. I mean, one time I went out one day, man, just everything was going wrong. Went out and got in the car, click, 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 nothing. When I said, "Well, that's okay, I got two more cars." Went out and got in the next one, click, click, click. Went out and got in the next one, nothing. Everything's going wrong. Having trouble with the job, having problems. I mean, goodness, had two houses. One of them didn't set. Just have the baby, and boy, I'm getting all these bills in the mail, and ain't got enough money. And I said, "What else can go wrong?" You'd be surprised what else can go wrong. Don't say that. There's a whole lot else that can go wrong. But you know what? Sometimes God puts us in those places when we go through storms in our life. And we think, how can I bear this thing? Well, as long as Jesus Christ is in your boat, guess what? It's not going to sink. As long as Jesus Christ is on board your ship, it's not going to sink. Hey, the ship was filled with water.
And they were saying, hey, we're in jeopardy. We're going to die here. And man, it's over. We're going under. And he said, oh, no, you're not going on under as long. Christ is sleeping in the back of the boat. Hey, understand this. What is a crisis to us is not a crisis to God. Because God holds the whole world in His hand. Amen. And thank God that He does. And all He had to do was stand up and say, peace be still. And the Bible says there was a what? A great calm. In verse 39, a great calm. Now, the next few minutes, I just want to look at these storms and the idea of why they come and where they come from and this idea of storms. Now, I just got a few simple little things here, but the first thing we got to consider is why do storms come? Now, sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes storms become because of ourselves. Some storms just become because of self and the things that we do. Can I give you an example of that? You all know where I'm going this morning. Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. He was a preacher. He was a child of God, and he was running from the will of God in his life. And let me tell you, you want to have a storm in your life, all you got to do is run away from the will of God in your life. You want to have a storm, all you got to do is tell God no. You want to have a storm, all you got to do is go in the opposite direction that God wants you to go. And I can guarantee you one thing, there's going to be a storm, right? Look at Jonah chapter number 1, and the first four verses tells it all plainly of why some storms are called by self. Notice what it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, can I say something right away? Anytime you refuse or rebel to against God and refuse to listen to Him, something bad is going to happen. Can I say that this morning? Because you can't go away from God. Notice Jonah had to go down. When you go away from God, you're always going down. That's the wrong direction away from God. And notice also that he had to pay the fare thereof. When you go away from God, it's going to cost you something. You're going to pay for that. Everybody does. I think the Bible still says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life." He said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not." Now the problem is people that are going away from God, hey, you do reap what you sow in a certain way. There's no doubt about that. And you can't walk away from God and ignore God and think that He's going to take it lying down. If we walk away and don't obey God, God is going to do something to get a hold of our life. The wages of sin is still death. There is a penalty for sin. Notice what takes place in verse number 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Let me tell you, God, you can say no, but God will say, "Is that so?" I guarantee you. And God sent the storm. And the storm was simply caused because of Jonah's refusal to obey God. And a lot of times in life we have problems because we just simply won't obey the Lord. We simply won't do those things that are pleasing in God's eyes. I'm talking to the child of God now. When God, when He speaks to us and asks us to do things and speaks to our heart, God expects that we would obey Him. Look at verse number 5. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone out on the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." He's not even concerned. I mean, he's down there in the ship sleeping. Think about it for a minute. He's put everyone around him in danger because he's running from the will of God in his life. This storm is because of him, and it is to him to get his attention, but he's down there sleeping in the ship. Notice what it says. "And they said, the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou?" Now you know he has to tell him, "Well, I'm a preacher. And I'm running away from God." And, that's the rest of the story. You know, as a child of God, as a Christian, we can cause so much problem with people that are around us, and they become collateral damage. Innocent victims. There was a dear brother came here one time, and he was riding a motorcycle, and he's run away from God. And he told me, this was his story, I could tell you his name. He's riding the road on his Harley and had his big accident. And boy, you know, and he said, you know, they pulled the helmet off my head. He had one of the skull masks on. The cop almost got freaked out, you know, because that's when they first came out. And the, you know, and he survived the accident, and the girl that was with him was all tore up to pieces. And you know, he got his life straightened out and came back to church. And he said, you know, I feel sorry for that poor woman. God had to judge her with me just because she was with me. And it was true. She was all banged up, the pieces and all broken up. And she said, and I felt the worst. I felt because he said, because of all that, what had to happen to her because God was dealing with me. He said, I knew when I was having the accident, I heard God's voice saying, and he's thinking why. And God's saying, you know why. Hey, when I got burned, I felt the same thing. I said, God, why? And he said, you know why. I'm dealing with you. And the brother said, this poor lady got all tore up to pieces just because she was with me. And then he never saw her again after that. You know, they broke up and they were on their different ways. And he said, I got to get my life straightened out with God. But you know, she had to suffer because he wasn't right with God. And so many times we make people suffer around us because we're not right with God. And we bring these storms into our life, and innocent people have to suffer because of our problem, the problem that we're having. And again, it's self-inflicted. Notice what he went on to say there in verse number 9. He said, now, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made sea in the dry land. Boy, that's a contradiction of terms. I fear the Lord. Well, if you feel the Lord, why are you running away from him? That's a problem. And then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I mean, he's bragging about it. I'm running from God. Hey, you ever get around someone that tell you you're running from God? Get away from them. You don't want the lightning to fall on you, right? Let the lightning fall on them and not on you also. Notice verse 11, he said unto them, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought most tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth from the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, verse 13, they try and row to sea. Verse 14, they pray. But notice in verse number 15, so they took up Jonah, cast him to the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. See, that storm was simply because of Jonah. And we can cause a lot of havoc in our lives by simply running away from God. When you run away from God, everyone around you gets hurt. When you tell God no, everyone around you gets hurt. You know why, as pastor, I try and pray and be very careful not to tell God no. Because if I tell no, everyone in this church is going to get hurt. If I tell no, God no, my wife is going to get hurt. If I tell God no, my children and grandchildren are going to get hurt. You got to be careful about telling God no in your life. My dear wife, bless your heart, there's been many times in our life when God asked us to do things, and in her heart, she might have wanted to say no, but she said, I'm not going to say no because God is the one who's asking us to do it. He said, I'm going to say yes because I don't want to bring the storm into our lives because I said no. There's been many a people that have brought storms because they said no. Teenagers, be careful saying no to God. You say, what do? You'll bring a storm into your life. You'll bring a storm into your home. You'll bring trouble to all those that are around you because God is trying to deal with you specifically. And when he's dealing with you, he usually has to deal with others as well. You see, the storm didn't come to one person. When they're out on the sea, the disciples were having the storm, and Christ is trying to teach them a lesson. But everyone around them is in the storm also, because there were many ships with them. Everybody had to go through the storm so that a few people could learn a lesson in their life. There's a great lesson there. Some storms are because of self. Can I say the next one this morning? And we're going to the storms. We know some storms are because simply because of sin. Because of sin. And remember in Genesis chapter 6 in Noah's day, that was the greatest storm the world's ever seen, the flood of Noah. And that sin, storm came because of sin. If you look in Genesis chapter number 6, the Bible very clearly states in Genesis 6 and in verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls in the air, for repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you read verse number 11, it says the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God does bring storms. And when God does control the elements. God does control the waves and the wind. And God does control the things of this life. And God does bring those things sometimes because of sin. God did destroy the world. He did destroy the world. And let me tell you something. When it comes to this kind of thing, God does do certain things to get hold of people, get hold of their lives. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that concerning Noah, that he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But because of sin, Noah and his family had not their sin, but because of everyone else's, they're going to go through the storms. Can I tell you something? There's a storm brewing. If you don't think there's a storm brewing in this world, you got your head in the sand. There's a big storm a brewing. And it's going to affect the entire world, and Christians are going to be affected by it also. We're not exempt from the storm. Hey, when God begins to, God said there's going to be signs in the sun, signs in the moon, there's going to be signs in the earth, and we're going to see things in these last days that the world's never seen. And it's going to affect us all. There's a storm, there's an economic storm coming, I'm telling you, it's coming. There's a political storm coming, it's a brewing. I mean, really, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, they're a pair, right? They're peas in a pod. I mean, they could be brother and sister, honestly. I mean, and there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming, folks. There's a storm coming in the whole world. There's a storm of jihad coming that we've never even begin to imagine that's coming to America one day. See, it ain't here yet. You know, what took place in France and Milan and those places is coming to America. And that's going to be a storm. When we have our first big terrorist attack in a mall when people are gunned down, that's going to be a storm. When we have our first big terrorist attack, hey, where people are gunned down in the airports, that's going to be a storm. And I'll tell you, this storm is a storm of our own making because we have not taken the gospel to these people that are dying and going to hell. You say, how's the best way what's the best way to take care of our enemies is to make them our friends. How do you do that? By winning them to Jesus Christ. The Muslim world needs to know about Jesus Christ. They need the gospel in the most desperate way. And there's a storm a-brewing. I told you, they said 2028, they expect from here all the way to Florida that Muslims will be in the majority. And people of Middle East descent. Simply because it's math and they have 10 kids apiece. That's what they said. EPPs, the mayor, the government, they're all preparing for Sharia law across this nation. And it's math. It's simply math. Why is that storm coming? To wake the child of God up that we need to be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. We need to reach them Muslim kids while they're young. And while they're still impressionable, while they can still be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a storm coming, folks. There's a storm on the horizon. Sometimes it's because of sin. Noah had to go through it. Again, because it affects everybody. It affects everybody. Can we look at this one this morning? Sometimes it is because of the devil. Now, I'm not saying the devil made me do it, but I'm saying this. The devil does cause some storms in our life. If you'll look in the book of Job, and I think the Bible is very clear about that, you can be serving God and be the best possible Christian there ever was. And I'll tell you, the closer you are to God, the more attention you get from the devil. And that's the truth. Some storms come directly as an attack of the devil, an attempt to dishonor God. That's what some storms come from. If you'll look in Job chapter number 1, the Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Hey, Job loved God and he hated evil. Thank God for every child of God who loves God and hates evil here this morning. And there were born on him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for the 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now, what does that tell you, parents? You ought to be on your knees praying for your kids every day of the week. Hey, you better be offering some prayers up to God on their behalf. They may have some problems in their life. They may be doing some things they shouldn't be doing. And let me tell you, you need to be praying for them. You say, "Well, preacher, don't you pray for them?" Of course I pray for them. By name, pray for them individually. But you need to be praying for them also, on your knees every day, praying for your family. There's a lesson there. And Job did that. He said, "My sons may have cursed God in their heart, and I'm going to pray for them." Notice what it says in verse 6, "And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down in it.'" You know what his answer was? "I'm in control of everybody and everything, and everybody's following me." And the Lord said, "Is that so?" Verse number 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil.' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in my power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Now you have to like that. The Bible says, "There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." God said, "You can have everything he's got, just don't touch him." Hey, what's that tell you? God can be with you in the storms. I tell you, the more closer you get to God, the more battles you're going to have. People say, "Well, but, you know, if I'm so close to God and I'm the greatest Christian, well, I'll never have a problem." No, you're going to have more problems. You know why? Because then you get the attention of the enemy. You are going to be an example to others. And no doubt, the devil will be interested in your fall more than other people's. Hey, the devil doesn't worry about sinners. He's got them already. Who's the devil want to bring down? Those that are living and working for Jesus Christ. And some storms come because you're doing the right thing. You say, "Well, if I'm doing the right thing, I shouldn't have..." No, you could be doing the right thing. You can have a lot of problems, but God's going to be with you. Some of the hardest problems I've ever had in my life was when I was doing the most for Jesus Christ. That doesn't exempt you from having problems. Everybody has storms. Sometimes storms are simply because you're doing what's right. Because you're living for God. Because you're trying to do some good things. And the storms come. Remember Mordecai over there in the Old Testament in the Persian kingdom with Ahasuerus? And he wouldn't bow to Haman. And what happened? The problem came. Haman was of the seed of that wicked one. Haman was the enemy of God. And you know what? Just because Mordecai did what was right, the storm came in their life. A storm came to Daniel's life. A storm came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. And that was the attack of the devil upon their life. And sometimes the devil is going to attack your life. But God's going to be with you. Job lost it all. But you know what? Thank God Job was a trophy of God's grace. Because when the problems came and the trials came, and when he lost his sons and he lost his daughter and he lost all that he had, what was Job's response? That's right. Look at verse number 20. "Then Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." You know the best thing you can do when things are going wrong? Start worshiping God. You know what's amazing to me? People have problems in their life and they'll start staying home from church. That's the worst time to stay home from church. Well, if you're having problems, hey, the best thing you can do is come sit on the front row. That's the best thing you can do when you're having problems. Get as much preaching as you can get. Get as much fellowship as you can get. Get as much praying as you can get. Hey, that's the time to pray, and that's the time to read your Bible, and that's the time to get as close to God as you can. Not the time to move away. That's what the devil wanted. The devil wanted Job to curse God. The devil wanted Job to quit. The devil wanted him to stop praying. No, Job said, hey, I'm going to fall down on my face and worship God Almighty. You got problems? You're going through some storms? You're having some difficulties? Now's the time to worship God more than ever. Notice what he went on and said there. At the end of the verse, it says, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Why, I'd like to have been in heaven that next time when the devil showed up. Look at chapter 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them and presented himself before the Lord. And look what the Lord says. And the Lord says, Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down it, I'm in charge of everything. Same answer. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and sheweth evil and still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. You see, some storms, there's no cause. You're doing everything right. You know, when we were having that problem, and I'm telling you, we were in the perfect storm, and some of the dear brethren said, well, Brother Chris, he said, if you get your heart right, all this stuff will go away. I said, in tears, I said, brother, I'm doing everything I can to keep my heart right. That was the same time. Just everything was happening. And I said, I'm doing everything I can to serve God. And you're telling me to get my heart right. Tell me, show me what's wrong in my life, what I'm doing wrong. Sometimes you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing everything right, the storm comes. Now, I tell you, sometimes when the storm comes, I'm down there confessing things I didn't do. In case I did, right? You're so upset because you're trying to figure out what you're doing wrong. And the Lord said, you're not doing nothing wrong. You're not doing nothing wrong. You're doing everything right. Just keep doing what you're doing. Be a trophy of God's grace. Glorify God when it hurts every day inside. Glorify God when you've lost everything. Glorify God when the pain's unbearable. Glorify God. Sometimes a storm so you can glorify God. So you can just glorify God. Say hallelujah anyhow. Say praise the Lord. Amen. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God Job showed us how to rejoice. He showed us how to worship. He had not blaming nobody. And even when the devil attacked his flesh, he was still praising the Lord. If you look in chapter 2 at the end of the chapter there, notice what it says in verse number 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot on the crown. And he took upon him a potsherd and scraped himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, thou speakest one of the foolish women, speaketh. What shall we see good at the hand of the Lord? Shall we not see evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He just glorified God. The best thing you'll ever do is never blame God for your problems. Amen. You know, it's funny, people, how fast they are to blame the church for their problem. Well, the church did this and the church did that. And I said, will you shut up? The church has never been anything but good to you. Christ has never been anything but good to you. Amen. The church has never hurt me. Christ has never hurt me, and my Christian friends, let me tell you something, they may have done some things that hurt my feelings, but in the truth of the matter, thank God for Christian friends. Sometimes people act like, the church, no, stop right there. The world and the flesh and the devil never did anything good for me, never. Where would you be without the church? Where would you be without Jesus Christ? Where would you be without Christian friends? Thank God for the church. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for the Lord's working in our lives. I've been around disgruntled Christians and blame. They want to blame everything on everyone else, but they never want to look in the mirror and see what their problems are. I got to go to people's home with disgruntled believers in Christ. I do. And they'll say, well, they did this and they did that. And I'm thinking, no, wait a minute. What has Christ done for you? He saved your soul from hell. He loved you when no one else did. What has the church done for you? Man, think what the church has done for you personally in your life over the years. I ain't going to lay my hand on the church. I ain't going to lay my hand against Christ. I ain't going to lay my hand on the preacher. Thank God for Job. He could have blamed a lot of people. Even his friends, when they came around and blamed him wrongfully, he said he still loved his friends. Did Job pray for his friends at the end of the day? Yes, he did. And when he prayed for his friends, God returned his captivity and gave him everything back that he had lost. Sometimes you are going to be misunderstood. Sometimes people are going to accuse you falsely. But you got to love them people anyway. Job didn't curse his friends. He said, you're a bunch of miserable comforters. You're not helping me. You're adding to the weight. He said, but he didn't curse his friends. He still loved them. He didn't throw them out of his house. They're telling Job at his house that he's a sinner, that he's doing all these terrible things, that they're falsely accusing him up one side and down the other, and Job didn't even kick him out of his house. He let them stay there with him. You say, what was that all about? It was about making Job a trophy of grace. And to this day, he shines as a diamond. To this day, he shines as gold. To this day, probably 5,000 years later, his testimony is so bright and shining because he went through the storm. And he didn't blame people and he didn't become bitter. Some storms, lastly, are caused by the Savior himself. Sometimes the Lord just personally sends those storms. Remember Lazarus when he was dying? In John chapter number 11, we look there for a minute this morning and we'll bring it to a close. In John chapter number 11, sometimes the Savior just sends storms for His glory, just for His glory, just for His glory. You know the story in John chapter number 11, Lazarus is dying and Jesus knows that Lazarus is dying. And in verse number 3, it says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that, and he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Notice what it says, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You know what he did? He waited for Lazarus to die. It says, and thereafter he saith to his disciples, let us go again to Judea again. And his disciples say to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man think a walk in the night, he stumbleth because he is no light in him. These things said he unto them, after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he was spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. Is death a storm? Death is one of the greatest storms we all face. We have several widows amongst us this morning, and they face that storm of death. That storm of life is the greatest storm that anyone can face. The death of a child. The death of a spouse. We have numerous people that have faced that in our midst this morning. And it's difficult when it comes. But I'll tell you something. God allows these storms in our life for His honor and His glory. Now we know the story that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? He told that to Martha. Martha said, Lord, anything you say, I believe it. They got down there to the tomb and the people were criticizing and the people were complaining. And Jesus was there. Notice what it says in verse number 37 or verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have not died? Can Christ keep people from dying? He can. Can Christ raise people from the dead? He can. But it's at his own pleasure and not ours. We know the story. He says they rolled the stone away and Jesus cried. And verse number 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Let loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. You see, it was for the glory of God. Storms come. They come because of self, they come because of sin, they come because of Satan, and sometimes they come because of God Almighty sending the storm. But the fact of the matter is, the storms come. What are you going to do when the storm comes? I'll tell you what Jonah did. He changed directions. Jonah changed directions when the storm came. When the storm came because of sin, Noah got into the ark. Get into the ark of safety because the storm's coming. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a simple way to get into the ark of safety? Hey, when the devil attacked and brought his destruction upon Job's life, what did Job do? He worshipped and got closer to God. And when the Lord sent the storm into Lazarus and Mary and Martha's life, what did Martha and Mary do? They fell at Jesus' feet and did what? They worshipped. Get closer to God when the storm comes. Don't let the storm drive you away from God. Let it drive you to God. And see if your life won't be better. Let's stand for prayer.